worship as prioritizing. You know, the whole topic of the conference was about worship and the different ways. Worship as adoration. Worship as beholding. And it all comes from Deuteronomy. And we really were in the first part of Deuteronomy. But so I want to read this, and then I want us to, we're going to look at this message this morning about application is everything. That's the title of our message. So let's just go to the Lord and ask Him to bless. Now, Father, thank You for the time we've had to worship. Thank You for the time we've had to, Lord, to communicate new ministries. We've had an opportunity to hear about a ministry we're partnered with in Italy and what You're doing there, Lord. We've talked about the ministry down there in West Palm Beach with this Haitian church and this conference. And God, how You're moving there. Lord, help us not to get so encapsulated that all we see is what we do and think we're the only ones that are doing anything for You. Lord, we're just a part of Your church, and You're at work all over this nation. You're at work all over this world, and the gospel is going forward, and the kingdom is being expanded. And God, we just want to give You glory and praise and honor this morning that You allow us to be a part of that. So we thank You for that, Lord. And Lord, as we come this morning, as we look to Your Word, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts. Lord, whatever is being preached this morning, someone may hear it and be totally touched in another way with something else that's going on in their life. So right now, Lord, would we just help us each one to put aside worries or distractions that are outside of this room, and for just a few moments, may we just tune in to You. May we just tune our hearts into You, to hear from You, to Lord, to sense what You want to do in our hearts and our lives. May we come right now humbly before Your Word. May we not have an attitude, well, I know what they said, but I know what the Bible says, but may we put aside and say, the Word of God says, You said it, Lord, so it's not whether I believe it or not, it's the fact that You said it that finalizes that. That's it. May we respond to that. So, Lord, as we come humbly, then may we respond obediently to what You want to do in our hearts and lives today. Move among us, Lord, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, I pray. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. The passage I was given is actually in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. And it's really just a retelling of the Ten Commandments. It's really all that this is right here. But I want to read that as we launch this so you can get a feel of where I'm coming from. So Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6 through 21. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Verse 7. Now, I want you to pay attention to the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots. And I'm reading this from King James this morning because I like the wording of that. I like the thou shalt. I like that. I like the thou shalt not. I just like that language. So verse 7 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of any kind of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Verse 11, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Verse 13, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy sons, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may be well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Verse 17, thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Now, we read that, and you read in there the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots. And here's the thing. When you talk to the world around you, when you witness to people, if you share this, here's what a lot of people will say about Christianity. Christianity is just a list of do's and don'ts. It's just a bunch of laws. It's just things you can do and things you can't do. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. There's just a whole lot of that goes on. So there's this young couple. There's this young couple, and they go to a minister, and they tell the minister, "Preacher, we want to be married. We want to be married in a hurry. We'd like to be married today. We don't want to wait. We're ready to get married." And the preacher says, "You're ready to get married. Okay, well, let's sit down and talk about it for just a few minutes, okay? You need a little counsel before we do this." And so they sit down, and he says, "All right, now tell me what you think in your marriage. So what are some things that you should not do? Are there any things you should not do being married?" And so they come up with a list of things, and he adds some things to that, and they're in agreement. Yeah, those are things we shouldn't do if we're committed in this marriage. He said, "All right, now tell me some things you should do in this marriage. There are some things you should do." So they come up with a list of things they should do. Okay, and so he adds some things to it. And so then they get the list. They're all in agreement on it. Yep, these are things we should not do in the marriage. These are things we should do in the marriage. And so then they finish, and they say, "Well, preacher, when can we get married?" He says, "Well, you can get married right now. You've made a covenant. You've made an agreement. You've agreed to these things you should do and you shouldn't do." Here's the point of this. To be in a relationship is not to be without boundaries. To be in a relationship is to have very clear and committed boundaries. Amen? You know, I was sharing yesterday. If I'd gone to Gina and we were in premarital counseling, you know, and the preacher said, now are you committing in this relationship? You're going to be faithful to your wife. Forever? How far would that go? Well, I mean, you mean like even after the first year? If there's any kind of question like that, we've got a problem, right? So there are boundaries. There are things in a committed relationship. There are things that we should do, and there are things that we should not do. Okay, so it's not just that God's given us these rules to be a spoil sport and to just to kill fun, you know. That's not what he's doing. But in this, there have to be boundaries. And in a real relationship, there have to be very clear and committed boundaries. But those limits are there not simply because they are rules that have to be obeyed. Those limits are there because God wants us to have a positive and successful life. Everything God gives us is for our protection. It is for us. So being a Christian is about living in fellowship with God and doing what fellowship calls for. When we come into a relationship with Christ, it is just that. We don't have a religion. We have a relationship. What we have is a personal relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who then through that we are reconciled to God the Father. This is a relationship. We're not in here checking the religious boxes so we can feel good about ourselves and hope that we get to heaven. We can know that we're going to heaven because the Scriptures make it known these things I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. We can know we have eternal life, and it is through Jesus Christ, God's Son. But He gives us these barriers, these boundaries for our help. I've shared this before, but when we talk about boundaries, there was a study done. I read this some time ago, but there was a study done with elementary schools, or probably elementary schools. Most of you, when I was in elementary school, we didn't have a fence around the school. All schools today, I think, do. You wouldn't have a school that didn't have a fence today. But back in my day, there wasn't. We used to sneak off. We'd run off in the woods and stuff during recess. We'd go get through the other side of the woods and like, "Oh, that's where that goes." And we were doing all that kind of stuff. But most of the kids didn't. Everything was up close to the school. Most of the kids stayed up right close to the school. You know why they did that? They didn't know where the boundaries were. And I was kind of the guy pushing the boundaries. I didn't care where the boundaries were. So I'll tell you a little bit about young me. Might tell you a little bit about the older me. But what they found is when there was no fence up, the kids congregated up closer toward the teachers where they felt safe. When they put a fence up, here's what it did. It told the kids would play everywhere then. Because what the fence said is, this is where you can go. This is clear boundaries of where it's safe. You don't go beyond this because there's a fence there. But everything on this side of the fence is safe. You can go there. And so the kids would play all out in those areas. Folks, that's truth. And it's not just truth for kids. It's truth for us. Now, the fact is our kids want discipline. And people do different ways of discipline. But if you don't discipline in the sense that you're giving your kids guidance and direction, you're doing a disservice to your kids. They want to know where the boundaries are. And we're not raising kids. We're not raising goats, kids. We're raising adults. You know, I was thinking as Jackie came in the office this morning and she had Delilah with her this morning, she was teaching her. And I was thinking, I was listening as she was just talking to her and talking through some things with her. She's teaching her and Delilah's learning. But what she's doing is she's raising her and Daniel and you as parents, you're raising adults. If you're raising children, if you're successful in your job of raising children, then they're gonna have a hard day because when they become adults and all they are is children, because you've raised children, you've got a problem. We got a whole generation of parents that have raised children. And they're 30 years old and they won't get out of the basement. They won't get a job. They won't get a driver's license. They don't want to work. They want to do anything because they've been raised, they've raised children. Our job is to raise adults. And God gives us boundaries because He wants us to know where we can go, what's safe. He wants us to understand that. He gives us those boundaries. Now, who does not have a smartphone? It's easier to ask that. Who does not have a smartphone? Is anybody smart enough? Not children, but as an adult. Is anybody smart enough to still just have a flip phone? I want to go back. There was a Nokia that was about this big. And you could text, but it was like sending Morse code. It was like tick, 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 tick. You know, you had to do that. I would love to go back to that because it was just great. You could get your calls and you could send a text, SOS, if you needed to. It was like that. But the smartphone, it's an amazing thing because I don't know. These have been out, what, 15 years or so? The technology is incredible. What's in this right here is more than I think was even in the space shuttle, even that soon. What we have right here is more technology than went to the moon. And so it's incredible. And so on the phone, you know about this, there are apps on the phone. There are applications you can get. And they do amazing things like they wake us up. You can read the Bible on the phone. You can do Bible study on there. You can check the weather. You can check the news. You can check the traffic. You can check the scores. You can count your calories. You can track your to-do list. You can track your workout. Those are apps that don't usually get used a lot. You can track your family members. That one got us in trouble with our daughter when she went off to college, and we had Life 360, if anybody's got that. And she couldn't stand it that we knew where she was. She couldn't stand it. And so one time she's like, Dad, I'm the only kid in... I hope she doesn't watch this. I'm the only kid in school. I'm the only kid in school whose parents are spying on them and watching where they're at. And I said, Jordan, you know, I really feel sorry for all those kids that their parents don't love them enough to keep up with them and just know they're safe. I mean, it was sincere. It wasn't... I'm 6.5 hours away. What am I going to do? But I wanted to know where she was. And if she disappeared, I want to know where the last place she was. You know, I was concerned as a parent. But we can track our family members, whether they like it or not. We can do that. We can keep your grocery list on there. You can have driving directions. I'm going to a church I've never been. We're going to that conference. Boom, boom, boom. Punch in the address, and it tells me exactly how to go. It even diverts me around bad traffic, you know, heavy traffic, wrecks and things. There's even an app on there. You can even buy and sell stocks of all things. You can do that right from your telephone. And there's other stuff. There's things I don't even know. Those are the basics. But here's the thing. This phone and these apps can't make me get up in the morning. You can't make me read my Bible. Can't make me do what's on the to-do list. Can't make me work out. Can't make me eat the right things. The apps won't do it. They're there. They're available. But they can't make me do those things. So here's the idea of this. Believing is fine. Having a head knowledge is fine. My intentions are fine. Pastor Aaron, how you doing on your diet?
Pretty good.
Doing good? You know, we a lot of times we start something, we got these intentions. I'm going to do this. The intentions are great, but it's, do I follow through with it? Do I actually do it? Keep it up, man. Keep it up. Everybody wants to know what you're doing now. I'm going to encourage y'all, encourage him, okay? Encourage him. Ask him how it's going, all right? We want that. Anybody want that? I want that. But it's not It's not the believing that something. It's not the intentions. What really makes the difference is the application of the matter. And James has some things to say about this. So James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." You know, so often we hear the word of God and we don't do anything with it. He says, be doers of what the word says. Be doers of what I have told you. Be doers, not hearers only. And he says, deceiving yourself. So here's the idea. Now, I'm not trying to give out personal information, but I've been struggling with a rash for a while. It's primarily like over my belt line. I think it's where my belt, look, my belly, I've got Dunlap disease. It's starting to lap over my belt line. And so my belt buckle kind of gets into my stomach. So I end up with a little bit of a rash. Well, it broke out here recently. I mean, it was breaking out on my knees, on the back of my arms. I was just having this everything's itching. All right, so I go to the doctor about this rash. Now I go to the doctor, and the doctor says, oh, okay, we can take care of that. I'll give you this cream, and this cream will fix you up. So then I get the cream. I go to the pharmacy. I get the cream. I go home, and I put it on the counter there in my bathroom. I put it there with the other stuff. You know, I put the cream there, and I leave it there. 2 weeks later, I'm talking to somebody, and I'm complaining because I still got this rash. Well, didn't you go to the doctor? Yeah, I went. What did the doctor say? Well, the doctor said if I take his cream, did you get the cream? Yeah, I got the cream. Well, the cream's not working. Well, I mean, it's not working, but, you know, I hadn't put it on. So here's the deal. You have to apply it for it to make a difference, right? So the kids have moved out. Kids have moved out. We're empty nesters now. Jesse got his feelings hurt because we painted his room. Felt like we got rid of him. Like, you abandoned us, son. We didn't kick you out. You abandoned us. So we're reclaiming territory. So Gina spends weeks and weeks picking out a color. So she finally, she'll be mad at that too. She didn't take that long. Just weeks, not weeks and weeks. But she picked out the color. And so we go to Home Depot and we get the paint. And I go. And so I bring the paint home and I put it in the room. Put the paint in the room. So I bring her in there and I say, you know, this is what you do. You go in there and goes, Gina, doesn't it look great? And she goes, you hadn't done anything. I said, sure I did. I went and got the paint. Here's the paint. It's in the room, right? It looks great in here. It looks great in this room. No, that doesn't make any difference, does it? You can buy it. You can bring it in. You got all the supplies, all that. But it doesn't do any good until you apply the paint. You got to put it on the walls. Now, some of you ladies like your fingernail polish. They really liked their fingernail polish this weekend. I could tell. So this resonated. So they had all these different bright, different colored fingernail polish. Y'all, they that right. Your fingernails, got to paint them a certain way. Your toenails, got to make them look just right. So you get excited. You go and you look for all those colors. You decide the color. You buy it. You spend money on that. And then you take it home and you put it on the counter. No. And walk away. Y'all don't do that. Y'all get new finger polish, you go home and this first thing, man, y'all are sitting down, y'all, ooh, that looks good. Or you go, it didn't turn out like I wanted, you know what I thought. But you're gonna apply it, right? I mean, you get that new color, you're gonna apply. That's what makes the difference. Application makes the difference. Applying it makes the difference. Believing something is fine, but it's doing that makes the difference. And James, the brother of Jesus, had a lot to say. Again, he says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And it is. Look, when we don't do the word of God, when we only hear it, we're deceiving our own selves. And here's how that looks a lot of times. People will go, well, you know, I'm in the building. I came to church this morning, so I get credit. I'm doing good. I'll check my box. So, I get credit for that. And we think we get points just for being in church. We think we get credit for just showing up. And sometimes it's kind of a religious experience because, you know, man, preacher, you got on my toes today. You know, preacher, you're preaching to me. You got on my toes today. And so, this is a religious experience. This was great. I got to feel close to God because I felt so bad about myself today. You know? And we think that sounds facetious, but there are people that live that way. They think because, boy, they got my toe stepped on. Well, you've had your toe stepped on for the same thing for 15 years now. How about you respond to what God's doing in your life? How about you apply what God says? It's not the hearing that makes the difference. It's the application. Man, it was a good day. I got to be here, and man, got this experience of being just preacher got all over me and stuff. It was just awesome. That's not what it's about. You know, we listen, we feel, and maybe even we're convicted, but do we do anything about it? Do we apply what God's telling us? When we don't, well, here's what we're doing. As James says, we're deceiving our own selves. James says, do what it says. Well, that's what makes the difference. See, application is everything. James 1:23, he says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So the idea is, it's what we do in the morning, right? You get up in the morning, you look in the mirror. You're getting ready to go somewhere. You get in the mirror and you look to see what needs to be done. Do I need to shave? Do I need to comb my hair? Whatever it is, we see that. We look in the mirror. But what he's saying is, if you don't do what the Word of God says, you're no different than the man who looks in the mirror and goes, oh, I got all these things, and you walk away and you don't do anything about it. You forget what you look like. Now, long ago, before they had mirrors, we've got great mirrors today, don't we? Anybody seen those hotel mirrors? You like those hotel mirrors? I love that. We stayed in the hotel this weekend, and it's going to cost me money. I know it, because Gina went, oh, I love this mirror. So it's one of those mirrors that has the outer band of light, like the LED. You just go, it's awesome. They look great. You can see everything. It's just great. We love that. But a long time ago, they didn't have those kind of mirrors. They didn't have good mirrors. So they would polish metal, maybe tin or bronze or something like that. Might even just have a bucket of water and peer into the water, but then you could see your reflection. And here's what happens when we look in a mirror. It's what happens when they looked in those mirrors, what we happen when we look in a mirror today. We look in the mirror and we go, wow. You look a little longer and you go, wow. And then it's like, oh, wow, man. So we got this problem. But if you hear and don't do, you're like the person who looks in the mirror but makes no changes to what they see in the mirror. And that's what's happening when we hear the word, but we don't do the word. So all that stuff on the bathroom counter for those wow moments, right? We got it, right? Right? Guys, do the ladies have a lot of stuff on their counter? And the wives might be going, well, you need to see my husband's counter. He got a lot going on too. I ain't got like nothing. Mine's just clutter. I don't have stuff. Gina got stuff. But it's all there. Look, it's all there for a reason. You know, here's what happens when we look in the mirror. We look in the mirror and we don't stop looking until we get everything just right. You know, Greg, it might be your mustache. I just noticed you clicked because you don't have it right now. So at some point you got in the mirror and you were fine tuned. Greg could have a mustache by 5 o'clock this afternoon. Greg's that guy. It takes me months to get this. Greg could stop shaving right now, and by 5 o'clock, he's got a handlebar mustache going on. But I promise you, when he does that, he's having to spend some time in the mirror to get that just right. He's not doing it blind, going, oh, it feels pretty good right there. You know, he's looking in the mirror. We got all this stuff for those wow moments, right? We look in the mirror and we see these things. I need to wash my face. I'm too pale. I'm too tan. I got too many wrinkles. I got too many freckles. You know, I need to shave. My eyebrows are shaggy. We see this stuff and we go, oh, wow. But here's what hearing is. Hearing is going, wow, 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 and I walk away. Truths in Scripture. Here's the thing. Truths in Scripture set the direction for our lives. Our lives are directed by Scripture and what God's will is. So this image in the mirror, it doesn't do anything to set the direction for my life. Unless you're a supermodel. Maybe that might set some direction. Other than that, I don't think we have any supermodels in here. The rest of us in here, that mirror image is not setting the direction for our life. But we spend more time on the mirror wows than we do the Bible wows. We look and we look and we look. And if you think back on if you took a day in your life, or maybe it was a week in your life, or maybe it was a period of time in your life, and you go, boy, I wish I could change that. I wish I could change that. Here's what you might find. If we could look back, you might find that your hair had never been better. You might find that your makeup was just perfect. And that might actually be part of the problem. Because we're so concerned about the mirror wows, and we're not as concerned about the spiritual wows. Your looks made no difference in the quality, but your lack of application got you into a mess. And you deceived yourself. And you said, hey, it's all good. It's all good. Application is everything, folks. It is what you do. It's not what you ought to do. It's not what you intend to do. It's not what you're convicted to do. It is what you do that makes the difference. James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, whoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now that word looketh is this. It means to bend beside, stoop down, i.e., example, to lean over so as to peer within. So it gives this idea of this. This looketh gives the idea of intent. Intensely, intently. You're looking intently. You're looking intensely. You're getting down. You're not just glancing by it, blowing by it. It's the idea of actually getting down and looking at it and studying it, whatever it is. And he's saying here, the Word of God says, whoever looketh, this intently looking into the perfect law of liberty. You know, ladies, we had this, I grew up, there was an intently mirror in the bathroom. Y'all will know this. Many of you will know the intently mirror. It's the mirror that had the lights around it. Do y'all have that? Who raised your hand if you had the mirror that had the lights on it? You had a mirror and it had a light around the edge. You could flip it on you could see better. But then you flipped it over and it magnified about 50 times. And you go, whoa. Anybody have that? Or is it just me? Okay. So I call that the intently mirror. Because you could look, man, with the big mirror, I can't see as good. So you get that one, you turn the lights, the high beams on, you got the magnifying glass going, you can see it all, man. You're correcting everything at that point. That's what this idea is. It's intently, it's bending down, it's focusing, it's really giving attention to this. So whoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now, that almost sounds like an oxymoron, right? The law of liberty. We don't think of law being liberty or liberty being law, but the law of liberty. So when we talk about that, you've got rules. Rules equal laws. We think about chains. We think about hindrances. We don't think about liberty. And we go back to the Word, and the Word says, thou shalt. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt. Thou shalt not. That sounds like law to me. It doesn't sound like law of liberty. And we go back to the fence that gives us boundaries, that tells us what's safe, where we can go, where the boundaries are. We know what's good. We know what's not good. It's very clear to us. And so, what are some things we think about with that? With tithing. The principle of tithing, whether you agree with it or not, you can't argue with the principle that is taught, I think, very, very clearly in Scripture. I was telling them yesterday, 6.5 years I've been your pastor, I've never taught about tithing. I've talked with a couple of people, and I agree. I probably need to teach a sermon on tithing. But it's more than just giving of our money. Tithing is giving of our time, talent, treasures. Amen. It's whatever God has given us, and tithing is simply giving back to God what's already His. If we hold back from giving to Him what He gave us, it's His, He gave it to us, then we're really stealing. But here's the idea with tithing. If it's 10%, you make a dollar, you give a dime. Make a dollar, give a dime, save a dime. Man, that's just Brent smart, right? That's just good financial planning. Scriptures kind of teach us that. Make a dollar, give a dime. Okay, that's not hard. We teach our kids that. The kid earns a dollar, and the kid goes, man, I can't wait to tithe. I want to put this in the plate. I want to put this in the box. I want to give that to the Lord. I want to give it to the work of the Lord. Problem is, it's for us. It's easy when it's make a dollar, give a dime. It's a little harder when I made $1,000. Oh, that's $1,000, a dime, $1,000. Means, whoa, I can't do that. But it's the same thing. It's the principle there. Here's the deal. When we faithfully give to faith giving, when we faithfully do that, it'll bring financial freedom. Now, I'm not preaching prosperity gospel here. I'm not saying come in here and you give to the Lord and He'll give it tenfold and He's just going to make you rich because you give that. That's foolishness. What I'm going to tell you is if you're faithful to give back to the Lord what He's given you, He will provide. He will provide for your needs. He will meet your needs. You be faithful to give. He'll meet your needs. Now, when I first started as a young Christian, I was a tither. I gave. I understood what the Bible said about tithing. In 1995, at the end of 1995, Gene and I got married in the spring of 96, and I was preparing to buy a place. So instead of buying a house, I bought a 4-apartment complex. It's a quad unit. And we had 4 apartments, and I remodeled one of them, and we were going to live in that when we got married. So I bought it, and I made the first payment. If I remember this exactly right, I made the first payment, and I remember going, oh, I can't afford to tithe. I mean, it was like, I can't make the ends meet here, and I can't afford to tithe. And so you know what I did? I regret to say this. I stopped tithing. And I didn't tithe for, might have been 4, 5, 6 weeks. And I just thought things were tight when I was tithing. Because I thought, you know, I won't give now. I can do more with 10 tenths than I can do with 9 tenths. I can do more with that. Well, then when I had 10 tenths, because I'm holding out on God, it went from tight to impossible. And it took me a few weeks, because I'm not the brightest bulb in the box. It took me a few weeks to put that together. But the Lord, really what He showed me was, son, you just faithfully give, and you give first, and I'll take care. And you know what? I said, all right, Lord, I get it. And I went back to tithing. And I saw how God miraculously worked. And I gave first. I gave it to Him first. I didn't wait to see what was left at the end of the month, because there won't be anything left. I gave to Him first, and He made it all work. Amazingly. You do the math doesn't work. But trusting God works. And so then I went from being I became a faithful tither to I became a joyful giver. And today, what I tell you is I'm a worshipful giver. You know, you tell that, instead of just being, man, it's grateful, I'm a joyful, I get to give it, I'm worshipful. Lord, thank you, because I can give because you first gave me. I wouldn't have this to give. I get to give more because you blessed me with more. Praise God. So we tithe. Sexuality. Scripture is very clear. We should abstain. Should, if you ain't married, you ain't supposed to be having sex. Amen. Boy, it got quiet. Boy, it got quiet. If you ain't married, you ain't supposed to be having sex. Amen. It's between a man and a woman in the bonds of marriage. That's it. That's what the scriptures say. And people go, well, you know, that just seems like bondage. You know, that doesn't feel like, you know, like liberty. That seems like bondage. God gives us those clear directions. Look, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Your body is not your own. It's not your own. It's not yours to do whatever you want to do with it. God's given us some very clear instructions. The Spirit of God lives in our bodies. We are to honor God with our bodies. I'm grown. I can do what I want with my body. Well, you can, but then you're going to pay the consequences. You're going to pay the price for it. Well, it didn't seem like freedom then. And we're trying to honor God. It just doesn't seem like freedom. But when you stick to what God's plan is and you honor Him in that way, He brings, there is liberty with that, and there's blessing because of that. Amen? Amen? Many who didn't apply this truth wish they could go back now and apply it. You know, I haven't committed murder. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. But really, if I can murder someone with my thoughts. Committing adultery. You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And I say, you know, outward stuff, we're talking about this one day. You could, you know, husbands, I don't cheat on my wife. I don't cheat on my wife. I'm very good. You know, I even open the door for her. I open the door all the time. I go open the door. I open the door. Here, honey. You comfortable? Okay. You see what I'm saying? Just because you open the door for your wife, just because maybe you do some things at home, doesn't mean your eyes aren't in the wrong places, your heart's not in the wrong place. And guys, if we're looking with lust in our heart, we've already committed adultery. That's what the scriptures say. So apply this to our lives. We're the gather together. I don't want to browbeat people about gathering together. Look, if somebody's not coming to church, I don't want to go just beat them up with the law of that. You know why we come to church? We come to church to encourage each other. We come to mutually serve, right? Do you know you encourage me when you're here? You encourage me in your singing? Man, that encourages me. That fires me up. Sunday morning, Wednesday night, man, I'm re-energized. But you, if you're not here, man, I run into somebody, man, I'm sorry you're having a hard time. Let me pray for you. Well, I can pray for them at home. Yeah, but you didn't know they had a problem because you're at home. I can worship on my lawnmower cutting grass on Sunday morning. I'll say this. Theoretically, you can. But I'm going to tell you this, if your attitude is I'm going to worship God from my lawnmower on Sunday morning, you won't worship God on your lawnmower on Sunday morning. Because you already shared your heart. Your heart is to be, I love God, I just don't love the church. I love God, I just don't love the Bible. I love God, I just don't want to be around His people. You can't say you love God if you don't love the things God loves. And He's told us to gather together. So when you leave here, don't browbeat somebody that's not coming to church. Come on and say, you missed it. Man, you missed it. It was so good this morning. I was so encouraged by the word this morning. The singing was amazing. Make them just go, maybe I ought to be back. Man, if it's that good, we need to go. I can't believe you didn't go to the movie theater with me. That was a great movie. You tell them how great the movie was. Forgiving. Bible says forgive. I won't go in a whole lot there. It's just clear. Well, they haven't apologized yet. So, Scripture says forgive them. Forgive them. You want to be forgiven? You've been forgiven? Forgive. Let it go. Let it go. Don't carry that around. So don't just hear it. Do it. Apply it. Live out what God has given us. Live it out. It's right here. We should live it out. In the application of the Bible, of all the Bibles, thou shalt and thou shalt not is liberty. Knowing is great, but it is applying that knowledge that we have liberty. James 1:25 again. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. And again, that word continueth is kind of that wow moment. It's the look. It's to look. It's to look. It's to look and not look away until they do something about it. We are, folks, we're to look into the Word of God. And when He reveals something, don't stop looking till we get it right. Man, I'm convicted by something and we walk away from it. Folks, when we look in the mirror and something ain't right, as a teenager, I got a pimple. And I got to get it covered up. I can't let anybody see it. We're not about to leave until that's covered up, right? I say teenager at 50. Some of us in our 50s still get a pimple or something. I'm like, man, that thing's a honker. How do I cover that up? What do I do? So, but we stay there till we get it right and we feel comfortable with that. That's what we ought to do. We ought to stay in the mirror. We ought to be looking into this mirror of God's Word that shows us who we are and what we're like. We should stay in that and we work in that until the Word of God makes that change in us and we apply that. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Man, that's what we need to do. Be doers. Doing makes all the difference. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Not whosoever takes notes, not whosoever comes every service, not whoever listens intently. It is who does what the Word of God says. It's applying it and his foundation is on the rock. Stare at the Scriptures like we stare at that mirror in the morning until we make the changes needed and see what God wants us to see. And put in that same effort, if we would just put in that same effort into our spiritual life that we make in our physical life, then the Bible says, this man shall be blessed. You want to be blessed in life? You want a close relationship with the Lord? Quit being a hearer only of His Word and be a doer of His Word. Apply what it says. None of this. Well, I know what the Bible says, but. Get rid of the buts. Get rid of those. Because that's always a transitional, contrary statement that's coming up next. I know what it says, but. God wants me to be happy. I know He doesn't want me to get a divorce, but God wants me to be happy. I haven't found that verse. I think that's in 2 Opinions 3:6, maybe. But it's that's not in there. I say this. I may be wrong. I may not even say should say this, but I really don't think God cares about our happiness. He cares about our holiness. Amen. He cares about our holiness, yep. Folks. When we're holy, when we're living a holy life, righteous, we're walking with Him. You know what you have? You have a happy life. He don't want to compromise holiness for you to be happy. He wants you to be holy then you can be happy as you walk with Him. And so what we do then, and when folks talk about, well, Christianity is just do's and don'ts, it's laws and all this stuff. Here's what we do. We should go out, don't argue with that. Just go out of here and shout from the rooftops how good God is. Amen. Shout from the rooftops how living according to the Word of God is a blessing in our life. And it is, amen? Amen. When we apply these things, there's not one thing we've talked about, there's not one thing in the Word of God, when you apply it to your life, that your life doesn't get better. It doesn't get better when you know it and don't apply it. It gets better when you know it and you do what it says. Then you go out and just tell everybody about how good it is. Shout it from the rooftops. Amen, Pastor Aaron.